Aleph Mishnah Vav 11:6. Since we're talking about throwing, the Mishnah will take the opportunity to revisit a topic we discussed back in the 7th parak. That was the beginning of Klal Gadol, when we set the rules regarding violating the Isserei Doraisa Chilul Shabbos. So there we said that if one violates an Isser Doraisa b'shogeg inadvertently, then he is chai v'chatas. He brings the korban chatas. That's only if it was shogeg. Remember, we had three cases of shogeg. Either he didn't know there was such a thing as Shabbos, he didn't know that today was Shabbos, or he didn't know this thing that he did, this act he did, was forbidden on Shabbos. The point is, shogeg is one did a willful act, but his violation of Shabbos was inadvertent. It wasn't willful. In contrast, if one does a malacha b'mezid, intentionally, or b'onus, against his will, then he would not bring a korban chatas, as we discussed over there. So now throwing brings us to an interesting place in terms of like a laboratory, a halachic laboratory, because you recall that obviously throwing requires both an akira and a hanacha, a setting into motion and a putting in place, and those can be divided in time by a good amount of time could divide the akira and hanacha. So our mission is going to explore what happens if only one or the other, the akira, the hanacha, was done b'shogeg. So, and the Mishnah will resolve it to say that in such a scenario, one will be exempt from bringing a korban chatas, because as the Mishnah will say explicitly, the principle is if both the techila, the beginning, and the sof, the end of a malacha, is done in shkaga, inadvertently, so then one brings a chatas, but otherwise one is not able to bring a chatas. So the Mishnah says inside, hazorek, if one throws something, v'nizkar, and then he remembers, la'acha sheyatza miyado, after it's already left his hand, that you can't do this on Shabbos. So then, the beginning, the akira was done b'shkaga, but by the time it lands, it will now already be not b'shkaga. He's now aware of what he's doing, of what he's done. So then he'll be pater from bringing a korban chatas. And the Mishnah says, similarly, if kalta acher, if someone else intercepts the thing that he threw. Now this actually is a different point. We also established back previously that for one to be liable to bring a chatas, he has to do the whole malacha by himself, assuming it's a one-person job. And here, someone else did the second half of the malacha. Someone else did the hanacha, since he grabbed it. And that being the case, again, both parties will be potter, because neither one did the whole malacha. Same goes kalta kelev, if it wasn't a person, but rather a dog intercepted the rock, the frisbee that he threw. Again, since he didn't achieve his end of having the hanacha done by himself, so then he'll be putter. In this case, if he was aiming for the dog's mouth and the dog was sort of inanimate and the frisbee lands in the dog's mouth and stays there, so then he actually will be liable. This is true even though the dog's mouth is, of course, not a makom dalet al dalet, it's not a 4x4 tefachim. Nevertheless, since he intended it to land there, he ascribed the significance of the dog's mouth, assuming he did, to be a significant place. So therefore, it's as if it had the 4x4 measurement. And therefore, in that scenario, in that kind of weird scenario, he actually would be liable. But in any case, our mission is focusing on the fact that either it happened to land in the dog's mouth, or the dog intercepts it, so then he's not doing the whole malacha by himself, and therefore he'll be exempt from bringing the korban chatas. Oshin nisrafa, one more case. Here, while in mid-flight, the frisbee that he throws incinerates, lightning strikes it, or it goes over a huge fire or something, and therefore never comes to rest. If it doesn't come to rest, then there'll never be anacha. He didn't do both sides. So in all those scenarios, patur, he'll be exempt. Now this principle of having to do both the tchil and the sof, the beginning and end, in a state of shkaga, doesn't just apply to hotzah, transferring by zrika, by throwing. It would be in any scenario. So for example, again, we're going to have a case of throwing here, but we're not focused on the malacha of hotzah here. We're focused on the malacha of making a chabura, making someone bruised or bleed. So if you dislodge the blood from its place, that's already a tolda of shchita, of slaughtering, because anytime you produce someone's blood, it's metilas neshama, you're taking away some of his life. So the case here is zarak, a person threw this rock, la'asos chabura, and he intended that the victim that he's going to, the rock will get hit by, will get bruised. Bein ba'adam, bein ba'behema. Doesn't matter if the intended victim is a person or an animal. bruising animals might be something different in terms of the technicality of what malacha it is, but it doesn't matter. In all those cases, v'nizkar, and then he remembers while that rock is in flight, that it's Shabbos, he may not do this. Ad shlo na'asa chabura, prior to the bruise being made. Then potter, the person who threw it will be exempt, because again, by the time the malacha was done of making the chabura, or reddening the hide of the animal, already it wasn't done in a state of unawareness, of inadvertence. He was already mindful that it was forbidden to do this, and then it was done. So therefore, potter, he won't bring a korban chatas. Zeha klal, this is the principle that governs this whole idea. Kol chai ve'chatas einan chayavin ad shetehe tchilasen v'sofan shkaga. Any crime that carries with the penalty of bringing a chatas, one is not liable to bring the chatas unless he does that avera, the chil shabbos, both from the beginning to the end in a state of shkaga, of inadvertence. Now, whenever the Mishnah says zeha klal, this is the principle, it comes to add something, and the Gemara asks, what is it going to add here? So we're adding a case, for example, of a person walking on Shabbos where he's carrying something dal amos in Rishus HaRab, and after walking two amos, inadvertently, not forgetting it's Shabbos, he remembers it's Shabbos, but he walks two more amos, so then a total of four. So then, again, you have the beginning being in Shkaga, but the end being not Bishkaga, he'll again be potter for bringing a chatas. The Mishnah finishes up by saying, Tchilasan Shkaga, if the beginning were in a state of inadvertence, the sofan zadon, but by the end he knows what's going on, or tchilasan zadon, or he starts out the act willfully being machal Shabbos, the sofan shkaga, but by the time it ends, he's already forgotten it Shabbos. In all those cases, paturin, one will be exempt from bringing the korban chatas, ad shetei tchilasan v'sofan shkaga. He won't be chayv unless both the beginning and the end are done b'shogeg, inadvertently. So this is, of course, very repetitious language. The question is, why is it doing this? And the Gemara answers that it's emphasizing that it's what's operative is the beginning and the end of the act. But the middle of the act is not important. So in some weird hypothetical scenario where a person throws something very far, he throws it in a state of shkaga, and mid-flight he remembers for a moment that it's Shabbos, and uh-oh, and then by the time the thing lands, he's forgotten it's Shabbos again. For example, in that strange scenario, he would be liable for a chatas. So the point is, it's not that the whole act from beginning to end must be done in shkaga, but rather that the whole act beginning and end must be done b'shkaga.